Are you beginning to get nervous?
No, ma'am.
Great.
It's sink or swim after a teen party.
Everybody was pushing everybody else into the pool. That's what seemed to have happened. And you pushed him into the pool.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, is Ian over his head?
While I was in the pool, I grabbed my phone out of my pocket. And I was just yelling, like, my phone.
And his phone got damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
When you do childish things, sometimes there are consequences.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Jennifer Eskridge is suing Michael Turnipseed for the cost to replace an iPhone after his son threw her son into a swimming pool.
Order. All rise. This is case number 479 on the calendar, in the matter of Eskridge versus Turnipseed.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat, please.
I would just like the boys up because the parents weren't there when this incident took place. So I don't actually have to hear what you have to say right now. Tell me what your first name is.
Parker.
And yours?
Michael.
Was this a party that you were both attending?
No, ma'am.
What was it?
The day started out as a beach trip we took with some friends, and then we were going to have dinner at a friend's house on our way back from the beach.
Now, the party that took place, and it was a little party because you were in a pool, you were swimming.
We were not swimming. We were eating dinner around the pool.
How many people?
There were 8 kids outside eating around the pool, and there were 5 adults inside eating.
So altogether, there were 13 people?
Yes.
The name of the people who owned the house? And they have a son or a daughter?
They have 2 sons and a daughter.
Are they your age?
The daughter is a year older than us, and then the 2 sons, I'm not exactly sure their ages. I'd say 2 to 4 years older than both of us.
Okay, so you're friendly with the daughter?
Correct. We were all on the same swim team together.
All 8 of you?
Correct.
Had you finished eating when it took place?
Yes.
At what time?
I would say 8 o'clock in the evening.
And you had been together all day?
Yes.
All right, Michael, why don't you tell me what happened?
After we got done eating, it was me, Parker, and 2 other girls. We all decided to throw one of the coaches into the pool, and she was
just
over
there. Just a second. You, Parker, and which girl?
There were 2 other girls that were there. It wasn't one of the...
Names?
Caroline and Lizzie.
And all 4 of you decided to throw one of the male coaches or female coaches?
Female.
What was she doing when you decided to throw her in?
She was staying off to the side on her phone.
So tell me exactly what you did.
We all walked over there as a group. One of the other girls grabbed her phone, and then we all pushed her in.
Who's all?
Lizzie, Caroline, and then Parker.
Well, one of them took her phone and also pushing her?
Yes, ma'am.
And what was Parker doing?
We were all assisting pushing her in.
Is that right, Parker?
No, ma'am.
Tell me what happened with the coach.
The first person who was pushed into the pool was a girl named Emmy by another member of our swim team, Mitch, and he pushed her into the pool.
Does that sound familiar to you?
No, ma'am.
Anybody else here who was there that evening?
No, ma'am.
Why not? What'd you bring them for?
They had to file in our names because we were minors at the time.
No, I do understand that.
Okay.
But you have witnesses to 2 entirely different stories.
They were all mutual friends, so I personally did not want to put our mutual friends into a situation such as having to pick a side.
I mean, obviously, I don't actually mind doing that. Are you still on the swim team with any of these young women?
I will be this summer.
You will be, and what about you?
I was not on the same team. I had been on that team for 7 years, and then last year I had gotten a new job, so I went to a new swim team that was closer to where I was working.
Okay, so let me understand this, and I want you to be very, very clear about this. When I get both of your stories, I am going to telephone the girls, including the coach, because I'm sure somebody's got the coach's phone number, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm sure, too. Understanding that I can sit on the phone back there all day. They pay me by the day. And let them tell me, because they won't lie to me. They will tell me what happened. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes, Your Honor.
So now let's start again. Michael, now the 4 of you, including him, is this the story you're sticking to? Because
yes, ma'am.
I'm going to call them. Including Parker, pushed the coach, and the coach's name was?
Julia.
Pushed Julia in the pool. Are you beginning to get nervous?
No, ma'am.
Great. And after Julia was pushed in the pool, what happened?
After Julia was pushed into the pool, Parker pushed in the girl in front of him, Lizzie, and then
Just a second. So after Julia was pushed into the pool, Parker pushed? Lizzie into the pool?
Yes, ma'am.
Then?
Then I immediately pushed in Parker.
You pushed Parker in?
Yes, ma'am.
Then?
Them out and immediately pushed me in. As I tried to get my phone out, he
wouldn't. Just a second.
Yes, ma'am.
Parker got out and Parker pushed you in.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's why we're here, because when you were pushed into the pool, clearly by Michael, because he says that's what he did, your phone was ruined and you want him to buy you a new iPhone.
Correct.
That's what the case is about.
Pay for the damages. Hmm? Pay for the damages.
You want him to buy you a new iPhone.
Okay.
Now you tell me very clearly, you start out with Emmy. Emmy was, let's do it again.
Okay, pushed into the pool by Mitch.
Mitch.
Correct. And then after I had seen her pushed in the pool, I had turned around, and as soon as I turned around, that's when I was pushed into the pool by Boyd.
Emmy pushed in by Mitch, and then Michael pushed Parker.
Correct.
And then you got out of the pool and did what?
While I was in the pool, I grabbed my phone out of my pocket, and I was just yelling, like, my phone, and I handed it to my friend Zach, who then took my phone and took it inside the house to rest it.
Don't tell me what he did.
Okay, he took it into the house. And then I got out of the pool, and then I went into the house to check on the situation with my phone.
So you never pushed Michael into the pool?
No, ma'am.
You have your iPhone with you?
Yes, ma'am.
Telephone numbers?
Yes.
Right now.
I have it off, so just 1 second.
Well, now we're going to put it on.
Okay.
I'm going to get me some phone numbers. You
okay.
Two, put it on. You're going to get me some phone numbers. First, we're going to start with Julia. By the way, Parker, you never saw Julia pushed into the pool.
No, Your Honor. I believe she was inside at that time. You guess first?
Julia's first.
Okay. Her number is 251-43.
Lizzie.
Lizzie's number is 251-73.
Mitch.
I do not have his number.
Mitch's number is 251-11.
Emmy.
Emmy's number is 251-88.
Now, I'd like you to tell me, how old is she your age?
She's a year older than I am, so she's 19.
And as far as you know, Julia was never wet.
After I had gone, when I came back, a majority of people had gone and put their swimsuits back on and proceed to get in the pool.
But she was never pushed into the pool with her clothes on.
Correct.
And that's what you say, she was pushed into the pool
yes,
with her
ma'am.
Clothes on. Thank you.
Well. Judge Judy continues in a moment.
And the one who did answer her phone, don't know nothing, was almost not there, even though it was a little wet. But what Elizabeth did tell me was,
and
so far, Mr. Bowers has been upfront with Ms. Whitaker. Did he on the loan?
He paid the payments up until August, and then he stopped.
Why did you stop paying?
For the work that I did around the house. And
so you made an excuse in your head that it was okay.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 18-year-old Parker Eskridge says former swim teammate, 18-year-old Michael Boyd Turnipseed, pushed him into a pool and ruined his iPhone.
Well, you know, it's so interesting, actually. These are three young people who don't answer their phone. And the one who did answer her phone don't know nothing, don't remember nothing, was almost not there, even though it was a little wet. But what Elizabeth did tell me was everybody was pushing everybody else into the pool. That's what seemed to have happened, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And you pushed him into the pool.
Yes, ma'am.
And his phone got damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to buy him a new one.
No, ma'am.
Oh, no, you will.
No, ma'am.
Oh, no. No. Listen, this is not a back and forth. What I'm telling you is it's not a back and forth. He didn't put his hands on you at all.
He did.
No. Not based upon what you told me. I'm dealing with what you told me.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to repeat again what you told me?
No, ma'am. You're right.
That's right. I'm right. Which is, he didn't put his hands on you first.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not saying that you did something to hurt him.
Yes, ma'am.
But what you did was, you pushed him in the pool. It was a prank.
Yes, ma'am.
Just as everybody was pranking. Somebody might sue him if their clothes were damaged, if their phone was damaged, or whatever else it was. But the truth of the matter is, you did push him in the pool.
Yes, ma'am.
And his phone was damaged.
And I offered him two iPhones.
I don't care what you offered him. He doesn't want two iPhones. He wants a replacement for what he had. So the answer is, that's what happens. When you do childish things, sometimes there are consequences. So I'm talking to you as if I'm talking to your parents. Now, if what you told me was that Parker pushed you into the pool and then you got out of the pool and pushed Parker into the pool, we'd be talking about two different things. We're talking about a prank and a prank.
Yes, ma'am, that's what happened.
No, that's not what you just told me happened. That's not what you just told me.
I pushed Parker into the pool and then he got out and pushed me into the pool.
You pushed him in first.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I just said.
Yes, ma'am.
He didn't put his hands on you first.
Yes, ma'am.
You put your hands on him first. He retaliated. But when you pushed him into the pool, his phone got damaged. You have to pay for the damage. And if your parents don't understand that, I assume that when they go outside and contemplate it, they will see the wisdom of it. It's a whole bunch of kids fooling around, but sometimes there are consequences to fooling around. What would happen, let's say, Parker pushed somebody in the pool, and then you shoved Parker into the pool, and he split his head open on the side of the pool. Who would be responsible?
I would.
Right. Same thing. And you didn't mean to cause him any injury?
No, ma'am, it wasn't malicious.
You didn't mean to cause his phone to get waterlogged?
I didn't know he had it.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
You didn't check his pockets?
No, ma'am.
He just pushed him into the pool.
Yes, ma'am.
And he hadn't touched you first. He hadn't touched you first, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Can't do that. How much is your phone?
It was $218.90 plus $29 in shipping.
$247. Judgment for the plaintiff. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I offered him two iPhones.
My iPhone was an iPhone 4S, and the one he offered me was an iPhone 3.
Tried to make things right.
So I wanted to get the replacement for the phone I had.
He shouldn't have had his phone on him.
It was a silly accident, and unfortunately, my phone broke during it.
It was just a silly accident. That's all it was.
It was just a one-time thing. No hard feelings.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Wicker versus Barrows, step forward.
Holly Wicker is suing her former live-in boyfriend, Jason Barrows, for loans to buy a car and tools. Jason says he made improvements to Holly's home, so they're even.
Mr. Barrows, I'm going to start with you, sir.
Yes, Your Honor.
The plaintiff says that while you were in a relationship, she made two loans to you. One was in order for you to purchase a car, a used car. And the other was to purchase some tools for a business that you wanted to start up. Home refurbishing.
Remodels.
I read your answer, and your answer does not deny that Ms. Wicker actually gave you this money.
Yes, sir.
However, what you said was it wasn't a loan. We were in a relationship, and it was sort of a give and take, a yin and yang. I did things for her. She did things for me when I was in financial need. And it's only after we were no longer together that she now is claiming a loan.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's your case, right?
Yes.
Great. So my curiosity is, what did you do for her?
I did a lot. I did a lot.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
So you shared the cooking. Did you share the shopping?
We'd go to the grocery store together, and I would input when I could.
Input when you could is code for what?
Payment.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Holly Wicker says former live-in boyfriend Jason Barrows owes for loans to buy a car and tools for his business.
Now, we're not talking about, you know, sending a card or opening the car door. I want to know what you did for her.
Yes, Your Honor. We lived in the house that we shared together. It was her house. I did a lot of remodel work to it, new wood flooring, textured the walls, painted them, new ceiling fan, new lights, made the closets bigger. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I've done around the house.
Okay. And from when to when did you live in the house?
Moved in February of 2012 to September of 2013.
And this is the house that she owns?
Yes.
How did you handle your finances during that period? Did you pay part of the mortgage?
I gave money when I could.
No. Did you pay regularly? I'm talking about every month. How old are you?
I'm 33.
33 years old, you know about rent or mortgage payment?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you say, well, how many children do you have?
Two.
I'm one person, you're three people. I will pay 25% of all the household expenses. Did you do that?
No, ma'am.
No, that's what I figured, because you were out of job for a good period of the time.
I was freelancing, you know, I was working for myself, and I would take jobs when they would come, and sometimes it was slower than others, but I always tried to do work around the house to make up for, you know.
That's fine. That's still not money. So let's say that is a quid pro quo. You lived rent-free, and you did work around the house. We're talking about the money she gave you, $600 for a car and some other money for work tools, together about $1,500.
Well, for the tools, I was handed her credit card, and she let me go to Lowe's and Home Depot and get the tools I needed to be able to start my business. And then
that's
I also...
That's what she says. She said that you wanted to start a business and you couldn't do it without tools. So she fronted the money for that. And what was your discussion with her about the use of her credit card and how the bill was going to get paid?
As far as using the credit card, you know, don't go too extravagant, which I didn't. Not to go over the limit, which I didn't. As far as paying back, there really wasn't a time frame or an amount.
I didn't ask you a time frame or an amount, but there sounds to me as if there would have been an understanding that if you were buying the tools to start a business, that you would pay off the credit card with the money you were earning from your business. You may not be able to do it tomorrow, but in a month you could start to make a payment, 2 months, so that those additional bills, since you weren't paying any other bills in the house, she wouldn't be incurring other bills on your behalf. Does that sound logical, Mr. Barris? You sound like a nice enough guy.
I understand what you're saying, Your Honor.
Is that reasonable?
Yes, but those same tools are what I was using to work on the house.
Yeah, I understand that, Mr. Barris. But you were living in the same house that you were living rent-free as a grown adult. So if you were using those tools for your business and you're no longer living in the house, but you have the tools, sounds to me like you ought to pay for it.
Well, I think with all the work I had done around the house, if she were to hire somebody outside of what I did, it would have incurred more cost than what I would have owed in rent and the tools and the truck to begin with.
No way.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Let's take modestly. Let's be as modest as we can, that it would cost you $400 a month rent wherever you lived. So you lived with her for well over a year. Let's say $400 a month times 12, $4,800 just in rent that you saved. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, I have the tools and I didn't pay rent. You know, on that kind of theory, you owe her a lot more money than what she's asking you for, than the $1,500.
Well, what about all the work I did around the house? I mean, just the upstairs bedroom alone would have been close to $10,000 by itself.
You were living there. Mr. Barris, stop making these mental gymnastics in your head to make it okay. It's not okay. Are you a good cook?
I believe so.
How many meals did you cook a week in the house?
Oh, three or four easily.
Is that right?
Sometimes.
So you shared the cooking?
Oh, yeah, I would say so.
Did you share the shopping?
We'd go to the grocery store together, and I would input when I could.
Input when you could is code for what?
Payment.
Okay. So she was buying the food most of the time?
I would say so, Your Honor, yes.
So it's not only your rent and your utilities, but also feeding you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, what about the car?
It was a 1991 Chevy S10 pickup.
Well, tell me where you got the money from to buy it.
She put her car on collateral with the bank for the loan, and then we went and gave that cash to a used car salesman that had the truck. But I actually ended up making almost every payment on the loan.
Oh, so, you did?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so far, Mr. Barris has been upfront with me, Miss Wicker. Did he make most of the payments on the loan?
He paid the payments up until August, and then he stopped paying on the credit card and stopped paying on the loan.
And what's left on that loan?
Nothing. I wanted to stay in good standing with my bank, so I paid it off.
Well, when he stopped making the payments on it, how much was left that you had to pay? Look very carefully.
It was $800. Because we were making $200 a month payments.
And how much were the tools?
The balance was $739 when he stopped paying.
Why did you stop paying, sir?
I think for the work that I did around the house.
And so you made an excuse in your head that it was okay. That's the wrong thing to do. You're suing him for $1,500?
Yes, ma'am.
You got it. Judge him for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,500. Thank you.
Judge, excuse me, step out. Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I think he just put a higher price on his work than what it was really worth.
I think if she had gone elsewhere, you know, somebody that wasn't me, they would have charged her a lot higher price.
He stopped paying when we broke up.
I just didn't feel I owed it after everything that I had done.
He was compensated. He lived rent-free for about a year.
I just think that she wanted more than I could just provide with my work.
Just take care of me and my kids and let the guys stand on their own 2 feet.